I have an unpopular opinion that I'm not sure you're going to be on board with.
Okay, what's that?
I think Netflix is right to crack down on the password sharing. Don't you think? I mean, if you're stealing it, like, why are you so outraged? How long did you think you were going to share somebody's password before they were like, no, it's only one per household?
Right. I mean, if you've been doing this, you've been getting away with this for a very long time. So sooner or later, they're going to come for their, what is it now? $8, $11, $12 a month?
Right.
I mean, I know it goes up to like 18, but wow, it's not breaking the bank.
I feel like for most people, I would say that Netflix is the number one streaming service that they use, right?
And the pandemic, basically, I mean, it launched them into the stratosphere. They were already, I think, the bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had to be right there. Prime made some noise back in the day, but nobody's even close now.
So, right. So, and they keep having to, like, I mean, the prices still are, I don't consider to be extravagant at
right.
12, 13, 14, whatever it is at this point. But every few months when they have to, like, jack it up a couple bucks, I think to myself, well, because I'm a sucker and I'm paying. And I think if all those people that were stealing their Netflix passwords and stealing the service were actually paying too, then all the prices would be lower and they wouldn't have to keep going up to cover costs.
Well, I mean, I think that's a lie. I mean, sooner or later, you want to make money. Sooner or later, you want to profit. And early on, that wasn't a big concern. But you consider the amount of content on itself that they are obligated to churn out. If they're not creating it, they're buying it and paying for it and then dishing back out to us. You know, I mean, if I don't get 5 new movies every 2 days or something on Netflix, I'm lighting torches and marching on the building.
Like, okay.
It's crazy. People get fired up. So, I mean, I get it. Costs go up. But I'll tell you, every time they do go up, it's on my wife's credit card. It's one of the few things that's like it renews on her account.
Yeah.
So I hear about it every single time.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. It goes on one of my cards. I mean, it's all the same in my family, but it's this card happens to be in my name.
Right.
So I'll never even see it. I'll never realize it.
So it's
I don't
like
know.
A ghost.
Yeah. I mean, they could be charging me like $80 a month. I would have no idea, which is terrible. And actually, I should probably check that. But what I'm terrified that they're going to do is log everybody out so you have to re-log in with the password because
right.
I never remember what that password is.
Isn't it funny how forward it feels when somebody will offer up their password to you to watch? It's almost like they let you peek down their shirt or something, you know? It's like, ooh, oh, this is salacious almost. Are we swinging together here on a stream service? It feels strange.
I remember my old co-host, he had all my passwords and he had them written down in his wallet.
Oh, what?
Because he would use all my streaming services.
What?
Yeah. I mean, if you asked me for my passwords, I would give you my passwords. But that's really it. I mean, probably just you. Everybody else, figure out the $13, I guess.
Why does this feel like a 70s key party? He had it in his wallet.
Isn't that weird? Breakups could be tough, but it's almost like mourning a death when you lose somebody in your life and you're going through a rough breakup.
Yeah, and some people do it better than others, that's for sure. That's going to dictate what your next day is going to be like. How long are you going to stay in this funk?
Yeah, Brecia Wade is a grief expert. You can visit her online at BreciaWade.com. You know, it's funny. When you think about grief, you think about actually physically losing somebody to death, but you don't think about when you break up with someone, how it can have the same effects.
Yeah, I think that's a common misconception, and that's why when people go through these types of losses, they're not really sure what to do or how to address it because it's not something that they readily think of as grief.
Well, you know, we read online that you're backing this no contact. Like when you break up with somebody, you're basically cutting them out of your life. To me, this seems so strange as someone that's been such a part of your life, especially after a divorce, if you've been married for a long time, that all of a sudden you have no contact with that person anymore. But you think this is the right way to go about it?
I do, and I'm going to be clear, for myself, the no contact rule doesn't have a strict time limit. I would suggest at least 6 months, depending on how long you've been with the person, if it's a long-term relationship. But I think it's appropriate to give yourself space to truly grieve what the relationship was, so that when you decide to build a new relationship, you're able to start fresh without falling into old habits.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's good for me, too, is not even with I'm jumping off to the next ship, but if I run into him, I want to be feeling good about myself. Now, I want to be repositioned, realigned, right? And that distance, that time, that does that for me. And if I don't have that, maybe I'm still feeling weak and wounded. Nobody wants to see me cry in public.
That's exactly right. I think when you take time back, you're setting boundaries for yourself. And when you're setting boundaries for yourself, you know, that feels powerful. So when you do re-enter into the relationship, you feel more like a full person.
And I have a lot of girlfriends that after they go through a breakup, they always say like, no, we're friends. We're friends. I always feel like, yeah, you're friends and you text each other and, oh, maybe you're going to meet up for a drink. Like, it never ends well because you still have those feelings. So is that why part of the reason why you should have like no contact with somebody after you break up with them?
Oh, for sure. I have definitely been that girl. So yeah. it's really hard to step out of old patterns unless you're able to really remove yourself from the dynamic and make a conscious decision to start new.
Right. I mean, you're treading over the same ground again and again.
Over and over.
To make the same mistakes.
Yeah. Do you think you have to actually say to them, though, okay, you know, we're no longer going to see each other. I would also appreciate it if you never call me, lost my number, unfriend me on all your social media accounts. Do you think you actually need to, like, lay it out there on the line so they get it?
I mean, that's closure.
Look, it depends on how the relationship ended. Some relationships might need that. You know, others, maybe they didn't end on such bad terms, in which case, you know, just stating the boundary, you can let the person know, I still care for you. You know, perhaps we can be friends, but for now, this is the type of distance that I need.
Yeah, I feel like the we're still going to be friends thing is just like, don't say anything bad to me on Facebook, because if you do, I'm going to blow you up.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
And then after that, once we get out of this 60 to 90 day thing where we don't care anymore, then okay, then we can be more real about it. But right now, oh, we're going to be friends. We're friends.
Yeah, I think that our culture also pushes people to be friends and to get along prior to being ready. And, you know, that's just not honest. That's not real. It's okay to say, I can't be friends with you right now.
Breesha Wade, you can visit her online at BreeshaWade.com. That's BreeshiaWade.com. Breesha, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you.
All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, there are three types of people when it comes to being behind somebody at a red light.
Okay.
And if you're the guy that immediately leans into the horn at full blast the second it turns green, that is all I need to know about you.
Here's the thing. Did it happen to you?
Yeah, it always happens to me.
Let me just ask you right away, though. Are you on your phone?
Are you on your phone?
Are
no,
you on your phone? Because
no.
The person behind you in the car behind you can see if you're on your phone.
No,
and that is incredibly annoying.
That. 9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. when I'm at a red light, yeah. I've got my toddler Dakota is in the car seat behind me.
Right.
And she is a demanding little
child.
So
you're turned around and
I'm
dealing with her.
I'm turned around. I'm yes. dealing with her. But it's like the second it turns green. Now, there's three people.
Now, how, wait.
But how, there's a way to do it correctly. There is a way.
Okay. I'm going to let you finish, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Thank you. There's the first person.
Okay.
Now, the first person I find to be very respectful.
Okay.
They go, beep, beep.
Yeah, they give you a little tap.
Beep, beep.
A little tap. It sounds friendly
yeah.
when they give that tap.
Yeah, it's just like, hey.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're probably distracted right now, but
right.
the light's green. You can
I
go.
I can see you're turned around.
Beep, beep.
But, right, okay.
Yeah. And that one I have a lot of respect for, okay? Mm-hmm. But then the second person,
yeah.
also, good. Okay. They're okay. like, you know what? I'm going to give her a second.
They just wait.
Just wait.
They say nothing.
We sit through like
they
three cycles of the red light. They don't say
yeah.
a word.
Yeah.
They got all the time in
okay.
the world.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going to pick up medication at CVS. They got plenty of time.
Sure.
But then there's that guy.
Yeah.
The second it turns green. Forget it. Forget if I'm even looking out the window.
Yeah. And he holds it until you start moving.
Yeah. And it's jarring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's even worse if you're the two car behind guy.
Yes.
Where you decide all of a sudden now
yeah.
you're going to get involved
right.
with the light turning green.
Well, you know, that guy has been egged on by the Ugh. Person behind you who decided that they're going to be nice and do absolutely nothing. Because mm-hmm. that is infuriating
yes.
when it's like, okay, listen, you're the second position person. You're on deck. So you're supposed to give the little beep beep. Now. It could be said that, I mean, are they driving a big truck? Because big trucks
no.
don't have a beep beep.
It's not discriminatory
big.
When it comes to what they're driving.
Okay.
It's all different sizes.
Not based on the size.
No. I think people take the aggression in their lives, like whatever they're mad about in their
of
life.
Of course.
And they decide to take it out on the person who pauses for 5 seconds at a red light turning green.
I think, though, most of those people, all right, let's even take the worst of the worst that you say, the longhorn holder at that point, all right?
Yeah.
I would say most of those those people did not believe that that was something they were going to do today.
Oh, yeah, right? They did.
No.
They woke up that morning.
No, I think it's everything that's culminated. Like, this is their blow-up moment, their COVID volcano moment. There's things going on at home. There's things going on at work or whatever. And this is where they lost it. It happened right here at this light.
I think this person has no control over their life. And they woke up that morning, and they're like, the second.
They couldn't wait to hit that horn on people.
And they were going
to
be like, beep.
You might be one of three they do that day.
That's all. They're not even going anywhere. Right. They have nowhere to be.
Right.
They're just driving around waiting at red lights for it to turn green so they can aggressively honk. That's all I need to know about you.
I'll just say eyes up front, Anna Zapp, all right? Avoid the problem.
I mean, sometimes I'm just looking up. I'm just zoned out. Give me a break. This is wacky. Principal and her daughter in Pensacola were arrested after they rigged votes at their daughter's high school so she could win homecoming queen. You laugh.
Oh, it's a great feeling to be the toast of the night, right? good for her.
So the principal was suspended from work and the daughter was expelled from high school.
Oh my gosh.
But the thing is, it's like, okay, yeah, this is bad, but why were they actually arrested for it?
Anna, I'm going to be a princess.
Well, there's a reason why this had a lot more repercussions.
Police say the mom and daughter had to illegally access accounts of hundreds of students, accounts that had a lot of personal information of those students, all so the daughter could wear the crown.
So you know how, like, back old school, it used to be like a box, and you would write down who you were voting for, and you put it in the box.
Right.
Yeah, welcome.
Fold your piece of paper.
2021, they don't do that anymore. Now it's an app that you, like, log on. Now,
Makes sense.
The thing. The principal, she had access to the app and the backside of it, obviously.
Sure.
She had district-wide access. So they were able to go in and access all the students' information and vote through there. So they found out that 246 of the votes for the daughter came from the same computer.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was traced back to the mom.
Let me ask you, do you think it makes it any better or worse? Let's say it was 50 votes. Let's say it was 10 votes, a dozen votes. Mm-hmm. Does it make it any better or worse? I mean, 250 votes.
It's a lot.
You didn't have a shot.
Yeah.
You didn't have a chance before that.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. Like, you must be so embarrassed. Because the whole reason why this came up is that people were shocked that she won.
Right.
They were like, oh, it's so lopsided. And they couldn't believe that she won. And she, for years, had been bragging that she could see other kids' grades.
Well, that's the thing, man.
Like, dumb. Like,
right.
Let's be honest.
Loose
that's
lips
dumb.
Sink ships, man.
Right?
Can't do it.
Yeah, so when they figured it all out and they did an actual investigation, they found all this to be true.
Sure.
Now, this is the runner-up talking about what happened. So she was second place to homecoming queen.
Okay.
I did hear rumors, but I didn't really think anything of it until I was brought into the office and it all became real. The other girls that could have been one of the runner-ups, I feel bad for them because that was an opportunity that they lost.
Am I alone here? It's kind of hard to feel really bad for the runner-up of homecoming queen because you feel like they've already got a pretty good life going on, right? Like,
I was runner-up.
Were you?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was my junior year or my senior year, to be honest. But I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I didn't cheat. I campaigned hard. I made brownies. I made cookies. I went around the cafeteria.
I can imagine you doing
it. To the tables.
Working every table.
Yeah. I was like, if you're voting for homecoming queen, vote for me.
What were your biggest selling points? I'm nice. I know everybody.
I made these brownies.
Did you flirt with the boys? What did you do? Did you eat? Oh, no?
I was like the class clown. I was loud.
I got to be honest. I don't remember at our prom us having anything but the king and the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, to be honest, my friends won both. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl was like an obvious choice. She was a super nice girl, pretty girl, and just, you know, an all around good person.
Yeah.
And my friend that won, also an all around good person. But I got to tell you, when he won, I was kind of like, what, not me? And then I thought to myself, immediately I said to myself after, he's clearly a better person than you.
Right. But whenever I think back to Jen who won queen, I'm like, yeah, she was pretty, but she didn't make brownies. Nope.
See, still a little bit of anger there. I love it.
Raven picks them. It's three news stories, but you're really only going to hear about one because Raven is going to pick the one he wants to hear about. Ready, Raven?
I'm a little self-indulgent, too, just to be fair.
Yeah, no kidding.
Go for it.
Number one, a bridal party's limo caught fire in Las Vegas on the way to the wedding.
I mean, that's par for the course in Vegas. Okay, what else?
Number two, a woman got a tattoo from an artist that was 300 miles away.
Oh, that is interesting.
And the third story you get to choose from, people on the Arctic Circle now need a cage outside their door.
Well, you know that I love anything that has to do with Alaska, so I'm going to go with that one. Although, you know, the tattoo story sounded very compelling also.
I really was hoping you weren't going to pick this one because I'll be honest with you, it's the most gruesome. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, people on the Arctic Circle need a cage outside their door. I guess polar bear attacks have become a thing in the Arctic Circle. And if you're doing work up there and you're doing research up there, what they've done is created what looks like a jail right okay. outside their front doors. So when you go out, that you won't be attacked by a polar bear.
Yeah, they're aggressive, man.
Yeah. Here's a guy in the Arctic Circle explaining why they have to have the cage.
This is called a polar bear cage here in the Arctic Circle. This is just tundra, and polar bears live here. So sometimes when you walk outside, a polar bear could be stalking you, and this gives me the chance to see them. And they're locked out, so I'll just go back inside and not get eaten by a polar bear.
Can you imagine every day you get dressed for work, you put on your shoes, you put right. on your coat, you grab your purse or your bag or whatever, you walk out the door, you have to walk into this thing that looks like a shark cage, but it's a polar bear cage,
right.
and you have to just scour the area to make sure there's not a polar bear waiting there to eat you.
Well, I would say leave your purse inside. You could probably leave it in the car or whatever it may be if you're in the Arctic Circle. But
not many
but
car
yeah,
break-ins.
I mean, it's best to be prepared, I guess. You know, polar bears, they're aggressive. They're you know, they're sleeping one time. Sea ice is dissolving, right? They had a walk a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, though. And at the same time, too, like, that cage isn't guaranteed to work.
When I was looking at this video of the polar bear cage, it yeah. looks a lot like when you watch Shark Week on Discovery
You're
Channel.
You're thinking Jaws,
yeah,
right?
You know, like the shark cage that they put you in? It's exactly that, but it's built outside your door. But I did some research, and there's this guy. His name is Gordon Grice. He's the author of the book Deadly Animals.
Of course.
What animal do you think would be the worst to be eaten by?
If
you had to be attacked by an animal.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the worst?
Well, I mean, are they going to do me in from the first take? That's really the question.
Most of them will.
I want it to be over the first swipe, right? So polar bear, I mean, honestly, a bear attack could take a little bit longer.
Yeah,
it could. Take a little bit longer because they're going to bite you. They're going to claw you. They're going to scratch you. It's going to take a little bit longer. I feel like shark is probably, you're going to bleed out relatively fast, I'm guessing.
But then you're also going to drown. Well, like, do you really want to deal with that,
I don't think you're thinking of that when you're already passing out from blood loss. I think you're probably all right on that. I mean, getting hit by a rhinoceros or something, because they're going to come back around and step on you. That'd be rough.
Obviously, right. Lions, they can kill in one bite.
Right, of course, right.
Hippos can run 18 miles per hour,
yes.
and their teeth are 2 feet long, and they leave puncture wounds the size of beer cans.
Hippos yeah. can bite you in half.
Yeah.
For humans. People don't think of that. We
right.
just think of them as cuddly and big and they're fat and all that.
But they say very few people survive a hippo attack.
I've seen zoologists, when they're working with hippos, they use pickup trucks that look like they've been through a war zone to basically corral them. You can't go out there. Little shark cage ain't going to help you there. Polar bear cage, none of that.
Elephants can use their trunks to beat you, which can be very painful. Like, kind of like a baseball bat, they're just going to whack you, right? And they're going to keep whacking at you till they get you.
I feel like elephants will be my homies, though.
But the number one animal that is the most painful, terrible death,
okay.
according to this author, is hyenas. Because they don't kill, they just start eating.
Oh.
So they just start eating you from the beginning before they take you down. Just imagine that. I told you, this was the dark one. I don't know why you chose it. March Madness is getting ready to kick off, or it is kicked off. I don't actually know because I don't know anything about college basketball.
Well, the first thing would be is that it tips off. It does not kick off
sure.
because there's no football involved.
All right. Tom Rock is a sports writer for Newsday. And Tom, I know very little about basketball, but I do like the fact that you always give me certain things that I can say to make me sound smart when we're talking about these big events.
I try to help out that way. It's a service I provide.
Well, you did a great job at the Super Bowl, Tom, so we need you to bail her out again. Let's say Anna's going to a cocktail party, or she's going to be mulling around with friends, and she wants to sound like she's intelligent about this thing.
Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to pick a Cinderella team. And a Cinderella team is sort of an underdog. It's a team that really nobody has even heard of. What you want to do, Anna, is you want to stay away from the directional schools.
Okay.
So Eastern Washington, North Texas, those are out. And you want to stay away from the ones that are state schools but don't have states. So Wichita State, Cleveland State, Morehead State.
Mm.
Okay.
I think I have the great school for you.
All right.
The Grand Canyon University Antelopes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, everybody loves the Grand Canyon.
All
right. Who's got something bad to say about right. the Grand Canyon, right? And who really is mad at antelopes?
Nobody.
Come to think of it. Going to use it in a sentence. Here we go.
You know what? For my Cinderella team, I'm going with Grand Canyon University. First of all, it's the Antelopes, and who doesn't love Antelopes? Plus, their coach, he was like a Cinderella too, had two terrible stepsisters and her mom died, and had a terrible stepmom.
No, it was a shaky beginning, but it's only your first sentence. We'll come back to that.
All right, what else you got there, Tom?
We
got
to talk about Duke. Duke is the team that you either love them or, more likely, hate them. And this is the first year now since 1995 that Duke isn't in the tournament. More to the point, it's the first year for their coach, Mike Krzyzewski, since 1983 that he hasn't coached this team to the tournament because he was out with some back injuries. So the good news is you don't have to remember how to say Krzyzewski.
Good.
It's just Coach K.
Coach K.
Right.
Coach K. Everybody calls him Coach K. Whenever anything happens in the game, in the tournament, and you're watching it, you just say, man, what must Coach K be thinking right now?
Okay.
Right.
All right. I wonder what Coach K is thinking right now.
Right.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Duke, though.
No.
I think they got
it. No, they're not in it.
They're not in it.
You had it the first sentence.
Darn it. Yeah.
Maybe fluctuate your tone a little bit,
okay.
But you had it the first sentence.
I wonder what Coach K is thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yeah.
When you said it like that, tone, I almost pictured him crying on a beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finally, we need to have a team that we think is going to win it all. And this year, that team for you is going to be Gonzaga. It's a college in Spokane, Washington, and they are the top team in the country. They're the number one seed overall, but that is not why you're rooting for them. The reason you're rooting for them is because they're named after Aloysius Gonzaga, who lived in the 1500s. He was an Italian aristocrat, and he died while helping people afflicted with the plague, and he became a saint. So basically what you're doing is rooting for a school named after a frontline healthcare worker.
Got it.
During this year.
Oh,
so
I got
what
it.
Could be better than that?
I know.
Gonzaga is your team.
Yeah. All right. Right. Hear me out.
Here we go. What do you got? Put it all to work.
Listen, my Cinderella team, Grand Canyon University, they are going to be awesome. But when they go up against Gonzaga, there's nothing they can do that's going to beat greatest saint ever that saved the world from the pandemic, and that's why.
No. All right, a little
go
bit
Gonzaga!
More work. No, I'll just send you the podcast link, and you can listen back. And Tom, she'll get it better next time.
I really will. Yeah.
Those three things should be able to get you through any water cooler conversation, through any cocktail party, through any watching party that you run into.
And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Gladness tournament.
March Gladness is here! Woo!
You really can't feel the energy in the building, can't you, Anna? It's an exciting time as finally we're back and in person and some of the heavy hitters this year.
Absolutely. While they're playing basketball, you'll choose what brings you the most joy in life. Every day, it's a new matchup. You can vote on social at Anna and Raven, or you can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Check out the full bracket at annaandraven.com.
I mean, you just never know how this thing is going to end up. Pick your Cinderella story. Can they make it to the end? Today, big, big competition, Anna.
Right. Coming up first in the Raven division, the number one seed, pizza. But not just any kind of pizza, Raven. Surprise pizza.
I mean, is there any better type of pizza available to humans out there than surprise pizza? You walk into work not expecting what you're going to do. Maybe you came in with a sad lunch. Oh, what is that smell down the hall?
Oh, what if when you forget your lunch and you're like starving all day and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, it's surprise pizza.
Right. Yep. Husband went out last night, came home late with friends. You wake up in the morning, there's a pizza box in the fridge.
It's surprise pizza.
Pizza breakfast.
All right, but going up against surprise pizza this morning, the number eight seed, having exact change to buy an item.
I know it seems like an impossible hurdle, right? The scent of pizza is still in the air, but is there any better feeling than when the number comes up on the register? 71, 62, 37, crazy numbers. Who would have this kind of change on them? You reach into your purse or pocket, pull out the exact amount.
You didn't even know you had pennies in your purse. You were like, wait a minute, I never have pennies. I never have change. But you reach in and it magically appears out of nowhere. And now you get a full dollar back change. You don't have to deal with any more change. It's exact change.
Yeah. It's a great feeling. You walk out with the burden of change. It's off you. It's gone. And you've got the item. Oh, what a game we've got here today.
It comes down to you. We're taking your votes right now. Who goes on to the Elite Eight? Surprise pizza or having exact change to buy an item? March Gladness begins today. And while they're playing basketball, you'll choose what brings you the most joy in life. Every day it's a new matchup. You can vote by calling or texting 1-800-330-9999. And you can vote in the next day's matchup. It all happens on our social media accounts at Anna and Raven starting at 5 o'clock today. But today we have the first matchup, Raven. In the Raven division, number one seed Surprise Pizza versus the number eight seed having exact change to buy an item.
I mean, it really is hard to argue against Surprise Pizza. Gosh, but you know, this is what it's all about, Anna. The number one seed, the number eight seed, they come in and just anything can happen in these circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. You never know who is going to move on. Sometimes you just catch fire and it sets the crowd alight and they'll get the votes.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What is moving on to the Elite Eight? Surprise Pizza or having exact change to buy an item?
Surprise Pizza. Don't have to cook.
I know.
Absolutely.
It's the greatest at work, right? You're willing to take no matter what your lunch was, no matter what lovingly your spouse prepared for you to take to work, you'll throw it right in the trash. You don't care.
Yeah.
It'll get moldy. You can just, whatever. Don't matter. Forget it.
You're like, I'll eat that tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then Raven, Surprise Pizza or exact change at the register?
Most definitely Surprise Pizza.
Yeah. I think Surprise Pizza is going to run away with it. Where do you like Surprise Pizza the best? At home, at work, or random place you walk into?
Anywhere is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I love is when I show up to a party and I think that somebody's like parent or somebody is going to have to cook or they're cooking or it's going to be potluck or whatever.
Yep.
And I show up and there's eight stacks of pizza boxes there.
Yes.
I know it's going to be a good day.
Anytime you go to a kid's birthday party, the best part about it is that you know that there's going to be pizza and it's going to be offered to the parents. And if you go to a birthday party for a kid and they don't offer the parents pizza.
That's it. I'm not coming next year.
Forget it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Your kid's a pariah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
I used to work at a gym where they used to bring in pizza on Fridays for the members. And whenever they would come in, it was like surprise pizza. You would come to work out and there would be pizza. And I remember thinking about how
counterproductive that was.
Yes.
But it didn't matter.
No. Because you know what? You're going to grab a slice on the way out. You
right.
spend 6 hours on that Stairmaster to burn exactly 323 calories, and you're going to shove it all in your mouth of cheesy goodness.
Listen, that's about momentum. That's about morale amongst your family, right? Against your team.
I'm after calculating all the social media, text, and call votes. Not surprisingly, Surprise Pizza makes it to the Elite Eight. Now, tomorrow's matchup in the Anna division, number one seed, child sleeping through the night.
That's got to be a big one for parents. You know what that's like, trying to get that elusive win.
Mm-hmm. Versus the number eight seed, the satisfaction you feel when you peel a hard-boiled egg all in one shot.
I mean, it's like mythical.
Uh-huh. You'll be able to start voting on social media at Anna and Raven tonight at 5 o'clock, and you can see all the matchups of who is competing for March Gladness at AnnaandRaven.com. As a parent, what is the dumbest situation you've had to ever encounter? 1-800-330-9999. You could call or text. Raven, I can't make this up. Like, my toddler, Dakota, I mean, I love her with all my heart. She's the greatest gift in the world.
Sounds like a disclaimer.
But the other night, she is stubborn. And we eat a lot of dinosaur chicken nuggets in our house.
Okay, right. Yeah. I get it. You know, the kid often dictates that part of the meal anyways.
Yeah.
Two dinners.
Mm-hmm. So we're eating the dinosaur chicken nuggets. And all of a sudden, she decides she's not going to swallow the chicken nugget.
Oh.
So I see her chewing and chewing, and then she just stops.
So it's in her mouth.
Yes.
Okay. It's not. She's not just playing with it on a tray.
Nope.
It's in her mouth. She's chewing and chewing and chewing, but she's not swallowing.
Correct. And now I'm like, okay, Dakota, you done?
Right.
You done? You want another bite? And she seals her lips shut with this defiant look.
Like a skull pack.
Yeah. I go, are you holding the dinosaur chicken nugget in your cheek? Is that what you're doing? She's harboring it in her cheek like a chipmunk.
Okay.
Okay? So now I'm like, okay, spit it out, swallow it.
One or the other.
Anything.
Just get it out of here.
Out of your mouth.
Now you can see it, too. Right. You're aware it's there. So now every time she breathes, opens her mouth, or talks, it's all you see.
Yes.
Which is disgusting and alarming.
You see, like, the little white pieces dissolving. Yeah. And chicken nuggets don't dissolve easily, especially not dinosaur chicken nuggets, because who knows what they're filled with.
I mean, dinosaurs took millions, hundreds of millions of years to turn into oil.
5 minutes goes by. She refuses to open her mouth to let me in. So now I start panicking, because I think she's going to choke on the dinosaur chicken nugget.
Right.
So I take my fingers and I start shoving them into her mouth, but she is so persistent and she's cold and close. No, mommy,
lucky that
no.
one didn't bite you. She's a fighter.
Right? No, she wouldn't let me get in her mouth. So I go, okay. So I call my husband. I'm like, Paul, I go, she's got a dinosaur chicken nugget in her mouth.
Flip her upside down. Let's go.
So he comes down. He looks at me like I'm insane. I go, it's been like an hour at this point. You know, I've tried everything. I tried singing. So now, oh, McDonald had a farm. Anything where she would have to open her mouth to sing along where I could reach in and scoop out the chicken nugget.
I mean, or at least slap her in the back of the head. Watch it eject.
Nope. We decide to Google what to do. Mm. And it says, give her milk. Still doesn't work. Finally, it's bedtime. We have on our pajamas. It's 3.5 hours later. And she all of a sudden decides she's had enough of the chicken nugget, opens her mouth, and lets me take it right out like it's nothing. 3.5 hours, she had a dinosaur chicken nugget in her mouth. It had to be the dumbest thing we've ever dealt with as parents.
It was a test of wills.
What is the dumbest thing you've had to deal with as a parent? 1-800-330-9999. The other night, my husband and I, 3.5 hours, we tried to get a dinosaur chicken nugget out of my toddler Dakota's mouth. She would not give it up. She was harboring it like a chipmunk in her cheek.
This is what it means to raise a child.
She refused. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's the dumbest thing you had to deal with?
So when my son was 4, my youngest son, I had to take him in for stitches because I was letting him and his siblings jump on a Murphy bed, literally singing the Monkeys on the Bed song. And seconds after I had the thought of, oh, I should probably have them stop, he fell into the wall where the brackets are on the floor and put his head open.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. We right. love Monkeys Jumping on the Bed. She fell off the couch twice this week singing that, actually.
You were like Nostradamus, though, on that right. one. You foresaw this evil thing, and yet you were there when it happened.
Yeah, sometimes there's nothing you can do to stop it. You see it in slow-mo.
And Ann Raven, dumbest thing you had to deal with as a parent?
So my 13-year-old thought it would be so awesome to have a sleepover at the beach. Problem was it was 105 that week. There was zero shade. We purchased 3 canopies. Cost us over $400. Didn't even keep us that cool. They were just complaining the entire time. It was the worst birthday, worst trip. And I tried to make it better, but I just lost $400.
Oh, and the cupcakes, the cake is melted. Everything's melted.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the dumbest thing you've had to deal with as a parent?
My son has an imagination, so he decided to tell his first grade teacher that I didn't live at home with him, and instead I lived in Australia.
Oh.
Now, none of this is true. At the time, he was obsessed with kangaroos or whatever. So when my wife went to the parent-teacher conference and she asked how our son is dealing with his dad not being there all the time, I was very embarrassed.
I can imagine so.
I mean, the kid just wanted to make you sound cooler. Let's
right.
be honest.
He was like, oh,
envisions you in
home.
Khaki and some sort of hat. Cool accent, of course, and saving animals.
My dad is basically Steve Irwin. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the dumbest thing you've had to deal with as a parent?
Well, the only way the kids will brush their teeth at night is if the entire family goes in the bathroom and does it at the same time. Because we did it once. And we sang this toothbrush song, and they loved it. So every night, my wife and I had to brush our teeth twice. Once around 7 with them, and then once when we go to bed. Because most nights, we haven't even eaten dinner by the time.
I mean, on the positive side, you're brushing your teeth more. So
just
there's
don't
that.
Don't be a hard brusher, though, man. All right? That'll cost you enamel.
Oh, I'm right? an aggressive brusher.
So am I. Every time I go in there, I get lectured. Every single time. My gums, blah, blah, blah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the dumbest thing you had to deal with as a parent?
Oh, God. My 9-year-old recently had a sleepover. And, you know, 3 a.m, her friend had a meltdown, just couldn't handle it. I mean, just full-blown meltdown. Crying, demanding to go home. So I called the parents. Neither one of them answered. Cell phone, landline, texting, nothing. I even sent an email. I even sent an email with a picture. Nothing.
You sent a picture of a crying kid at 2 o'clock in the morning?
They don't care. They're out.
Right.
It's your problem.
It's like your problem now.
5:30, the kid's still in bad shape. I've been up, you know, 3 hours or something now. I decided to open the kitchen and just made full-on breakfast, pancakes and cereals, you know, sausage and eggs and pre-dawn breakfast extravaganza. It worked, I guess. Everyone kind of calmed down, and the parents called me at 7 a.m. I don't know, when they got back from their spa or whatever, and just said, oh, yeah, she does this all the time. No big deal.
Right. All the time.
Great.
They put their phones in sleep mode to make sure that your text didn't go through when they got that. They knew that call was coming.
Definitely.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Matt and Kylie. Kylie, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my best friend asked if she can borrow $7,000 for surgery for her dog. And I mean, she doesn't really ask for much, and she's a reliable friend, and I would like to give it to her. But Matt disagrees. And my argument is that, you know, she's my friend. She doesn't ask for much. This is her puppy. How can we not help her? Especially since she said that she'd like pay us back within the year. I just don't see what the problem is.
Matt, what do you think? That's a lot of money. I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I know it kind of sounds heartless. I mean, I care about our friend's dog, but you know, you can't just lend someone $7,000 of our savings. I mean, what if we have an emergency? You know, what if our friend doesn't pay us back?
Yeah, it's true. That's then you're looking at a situation where you've lost the friendship. I mean, any number one of things could happen. All right? You could give them the money. The operation could happen. But then again, the dog could not recover. And therefore, the money is spent. It doesn't mean that it's not worth trying, obviously, to her. I'm sure it's worth every dime. To me, it would be. In my house, there'd be no question. But on the other hand, what if your friend goes into another hardship after that? What if she loses her job? What if she has some sort of incident where she's unable to pay you back, and now this puts you guys in a predicament? Even if you can live without the money, now is she still your friend? What has that done to the relationship between you guys?
That's a tough call. But then again, you have to think that a friend has to be really desperate to have to ask you for that kind of cash.
I would definitely assume so, right? There's nowhere to turn. I'm going to them. Who else can I really go to?
Would you give your friend $7,000 in this situation? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. I have to think that there's some people that have no shame in asking to borrow money. You know, can I borrow $100? Can I borrow $500? And you know those people. You know whether or not they're going to pay you back. You know if it's shady. But if your best friend, who you love, comes to you and they ask, can I please borrow $7,000? My dog needs to have surgery. I will do everything in my power to pay you back as quickly as I can. What do you do in that situation?
I mean, it's a very tough circumstance because the thing is that you know things about your friends. You know their ups and downs. You know their struggles, right? But you also have to keep an eye on your own challenges and things that might be coming up too. It's tough because it's emotional and yet you're arguing with your practical side.
Yep, that's exactly what's going on with Matt and Kylie. Kylie's best friend asked to borrow the money, and Matt says, no, you can't just give $7,000 to her. I know she's a good friend. I know she wouldn't ask if she didn't have to, but it's too much. She thinks they have to. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side. Why does this woman not have the $7,000 saved herself? I mean, I'm just saying, like, this couple that has the money saved, they're being responsible and preventing, you know, or protecting themselves for an emergency in the future. And this woman who doesn't have any money saved is not doing that. And then my second question is, how is she going to pay $7,000 back in a year or even in 2 years? If she hasn't had any, she doesn't have any excess money saved, how does she have this excess money to repay a loan?
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you
for the call. Have a good morning. I mean, that's a lot of inquisitive questions here, but there might be very good answers to both of those questions.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven. Kylie's best friend asked to borrow $7,000 for surgery for her dog, and she says we got to give it to her. She's good for it, and she's my best friend. Her husband, Matt, says, no, we can't just lend $7,000 out. What if she never pays us back?
Listen, I love your friend. I love her dog, but this is our safety net here. It is a really tough set of circumstances.
Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court. 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on the husband's side. What kind of friend is, you know, is she asking you to borrow money? You know, she could get a loan from the vet. There's other ways to get that money other than asking a friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. I mean, some places will do in-house financing, but I mean, you're going to pay an exorbitant rate for that.
But it's a huge ask. I don't think
it
that
is
there's
a big ask.
Anyone besides my parents that I would ask to borrow that much money.
You wouldn't ask me to borrow $7,000?
No.
That's insulting. Ask me to borrow
$7,000. I know, but I wouldn't. I just feel uncomfortable.
Here's the thing. You're uncomfortable because you know that the interest rate's going to be steep.
Right. I'd rather go through
a
bank.
Collateral, I want jewels.
Oh, good.
I mean, have a riding lawnmower, anything that's near and dear to your heart. Maybe your small child.
Great. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I guess I'm on the husband's side. He does not want to lend the money, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Tell us why.
Okay. You lend money to complete strangers before you lend it to friends and family, no matter what it's for. I actually had a situation where I had to borrow money from a friend and I lost my job and I was not able to pay him back. And this was a friend I had for like 30 years since we were in kindergarten. And we are no longer friends. I feel totally terrible for that. I wish we were still friends today. But nothing I do could ever make up for that.
All right. Thank you.
And it does happen.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think that they should give the $7,000 to the friend, because if you're really a good friend, and your friend is that desperate for help, I don't see, you know, of course, unexpected things could go wrong, but I don't see her not paying you back. And they could also set up a GoFundMe, so maybe she could get the money back faster. You know, there's other options, but I think, you know, there's a life on the line, whether it's human or not. It's still important.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Matt, our audience agreed with you this morning. $7,000. Kylie, your heart is in the right place, but a lot of things could go wrong, and it could really end your friendship if she's unable to pay you back or if something should go south. And at the end of the day, it's too big of an ask.
I mean... I don't even know what to say.
Well, maybe there's a way that you can help her get to that goal or get to that number besides just handing over all that cash, right? Maybe there is an amount that you guys can live with that you would be able to lend her, and then you can reach out to another friend, or, you know, if there's somebody else in your circle, or even, you know, a GoFundMe or whatever. When people want to help their neighbors if they can, sometimes they don't often know the circumstances.
You guys have raised some really great points. I shouldn't just be taking this burden on myself.
It's okay. It's just, you know, $7,000 right now, at least is a significant amount of our savings. And so I think it'd be great to help our friend, you know, support her getting the money while not necessarily taking it out of our income.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Tanya.
Hey, Tanya, you ready to take Raven on?
I am.
Can you please ask him to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
All right, good luck.
All right, Tanya, we've got $800 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'll ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
Number 1, Sharon Osbourne has been on hiatus from her talk show where she's a co-host after an investigation of her remarks following the Meghan Markle interview. What show does she co-host?
The Talk.
Number 2, at the end of The Bachelor, after the final rose, they announced there will be 2 Bachelorette seasons in 2021. Name one of the Bachelorettes that have been selected.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Number 3, Kanye West is worth a reported $6.6 billion, and at least half of that is from his sneaker and clothing line. What is his brand called?
Oh, God, it's not my day. I have no idea.
Number 4, Gwen Stefani semi-jokingly asked Ellen to be her maid of honor at her wedding to Blake Shelton. Gavin Rosdale was Gwen Stefani's first husband, and he's the lead singer of what band?
God, I don't know.
And number 5, rumors are that producers want Pat Sajak to take a break from his hosting duties after a string of mishaps lately. Who was the original Wheel of Fortune host before Pat Sajak?
Was it Merv Griffin?
All right, Tanya, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, Tanya only got 1 right.
Not good, Tanya.
That's all right. We like when people try. That's all that matters.
Do we? Okay. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Sharon Osbourne has been on hiatus from her talk show where she is a co-host. This is all after an investigation following the remarks she made about Meghan Markle.
Right.
What show does she co-host?
That's The Talk.
Yes. Number 2, at the end of The Bachelor, after the final rose, they announced there will be 2 Bachelorette seasons in 2021.
Okay.
Name one of the Bachelorettes that have been selected.
I saw something about this. Michelle Young going to be one of them, right?
Yes. Number 3, Kanye West is worth a reported $6.6 billion. The other one is Katie Thurston. Number 3, Kanye West is worth a reported $6.6 billion. At least half of that is from his sneaker and clothing line. What is his brand called?
Yeezys. It's crazy, right? I had no idea.
I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
That's a lot of money, man.
That's crazy. Number 4, Gwen Stefani semi-jokingly asked Ellen to be the maid of honor at her wedding to Blake Shelton. Gavin Rosdale was Gwen Stefani's first husband.
Yeah.
He's the lead singer of what band?
Bush. Come on.
Yes. At number 5, rumors are that producers want Pat Sajak to take a break from his hosting duties after a string of mishaps lately.
Oh.
Who was the original Wheel of Fortune host before Pat Sajak?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to take a guess and just say Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery is correct.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Chuck Woolery hosted everything.
Everything. And yeah. He was fantastic.
I'm sorry, Tanya. He beat you 5-1 this morning. We will get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I had no idea.
Tanya, and I cannot beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Tanya. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Another $100 in the pot, and it's climbing.